Next order of business is under unfinished business, and that is the consideration of Resolution 18-485, which concerns revision of the hospital district's bylaws. That was one of two topics of discussion at the special meeting, which we had starting at 3 p.m. today. No action was taken at that time. But this resolution is requisite to be considered tonight and then formally ruled upon at the next regular scheduled meeting in June. And this delay is dictated by the current bylaws, which are still in good standing. Warren, since you were one of two members of the committee, you want to talk a bit about this? No?
I think I want to start by thanking Nathan and Pam, who just did yeoman's work on this. And Mark, I think, did the majority of the work, and I want to thank Mark also. We did have a good discussion earlier today. I think these bylaws that we're going to discuss tonight are a nice advance. They make us more efficient. And time-wise, I don't think they take anything away from the debate that we'll have. That's all I have to say.
Mark, since you were co-author of the draft, sir, would you like to comment or two?
We're advancing the quality of our bylaws, and we're drafting on the experience of other public hospital districts to do so. So it's not a sui generis construct. It's something that's standing on the shoulders of others, not the least of which were Dr. Michael Edwards, an attorney and board member, Barbara Sharp, who also revised the bylaws last year, but without the benefit of some of these other documents, and that's why we're revisiting this bylaw subject right now.
And they will be posted on the website over the month.
Correct.
So that y'all can read them.
They're currently posted, and they've been up for the month, but I'll post this most recent resolution as well.
Thank you.
So one of the things that Mr. Grout mentioned, and I think very in an exacting way and in a very convincing way, is that there's one proviso within the draft bylaws that, number one, disallow commissioners from utilizing their cell phones unless that cell phone is on airplane mode. I think there's consensus here to adopt that. But if we're in terms of folks in the audience, that's a bit too strict, I think, particularly in the consideration of family-based emergencies, healthcare issues, and this and that. So I think one of the incorporations that I encourage Nathan make in the draft bylaws is to have the folks have cell phones on vibration mode, not necessarily airplane mode, so they can still communicate, but it just the cell phone won't be squeaking or playing tunes or whatever, which is one of the things we want to avoid as much as we can. Any other comments? Annalisa? Comments, Mary? Yeah. Rebecca? Okay. So, Nathan, in terms of where we stand now relative to this resolution, do we have to pass this thing, this resolution, even though we're really not passing it?
No, I don't think so. You're just allowing an extra meeting to review it, is all.
Yeah, so we're just formally introducing it. It's basically a final draft, in essence, and allows the public to review it as well.
So, yeah, I'll post this version that I've distributed before this meeting on the website, and you all have copies, and then next meeting you guys can pass.
So even though I brought up the revision in the cell phone protocol, is the board okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, next order of business is a report on the Community Collaboration Committee, otherwise known as the CCC. Dr. Appleton.
We met at the hospital 2 weeks ago. Well attended, no phone attendees, 8 people there. The big issue is long-term care, and I think Pam's covered that quite well. And we heard the same report, and you just heard it, so I don't think I need to repeat that. They also came up with the issue of housing, which seems to permeate all conversations on this island. And there was a very good discussion. There are some initiatives being undertaken. Some of those have not become mature enough. They're still in the planning phase, so we're asked not to discuss some of them. But they're looking at different housings for employees that might well need in the hospital district to service the hospital, et cetera. And so that was, and there seemed to be funding for that. Funding's always an issue at the CCC. Coordination of the conversation seems to be going quite well. There was one issue brought up that there was a cleanup of Jackson Beach, and during that cleanup, a bunch of needles and syringes were found. And one of the nurses at the hospital, who was actually volunteering at the cleanup, took them, and then became the issue of where you take them, because they're a hazardous waste. There was a discussion with the hospital, myself, a couple other people. No resolution was brought up on this, but I took it upon myself to start investigating exactly how you do take care of needles and outdated medicines on this island. And that led to how we do it in Washington, how we do it in this county, and how we do it in the state of Washington and the United States. I talked with Sheriff Krebs, talked with the hospital. I talked with Josh Madlock, who is the new pharmacist. I talked with Candace, I'm blocking the name, human resources person out of Roach Harbor. After walking into the Roach Harbor men's restroom and finding a sharps box that was not FDA compliant, and started to look at the issue, and there is an opportunity with all of the needles that we produce on this island, both legal and illicit needles, to do better. And I'm going to continue to work on that with the CCC and with this committee. There might be a minimal funding issue to do a study to try to improve how we do this. Right now it's just sort of scattered all over the place. There will also be some stuff on how we dispose of pills. Right now the sheriff is disposing of 800 pounds of unused medications, which is a lot of medications. You can drop your needles at the sheriff's department if you walk in. There's a little box there. But getting them off island is very expensive. And it might be something that we talk about and then refer on to the county to see if we can get a program going where we can all just come together and take care of this at a time. I know on my personal property a couple of years ago, on Westcott Bay, I found a lot of needles in a burn area. And we ended up fencing that area off to keep night partiers away. So I have a sort of a personal interest in this. But it would be unfortunate if someone got stuck with an amphetamine needle and ended up with HIV, and we've sort of totally ignored that. So it's a work in progress. I'll have a deeper report in a month, and I'll be reporting back to the CC. The reason I like this issue is it's solvable, and everyone wants to work together on it. And I think it would be good for us in the hospital and the county and EMS and the sheriff's department to find something that we can work well together on and start developing some relations along those lines. That was the CC committee. There were other smaller reports, just updates on long-term care, updates on funding, et cetera. Those notes are not out yet, so I'm not privy to the final outcome of how they be printed up. That was the CC committee.
So, Lisa, were you also involved with that?
I was not at that particular meeting, but yeah. We recapped
together. We talked about it.
I had a question, though. Did it come up you know, if we talk about maybe working towards having more receptacles for safe needle disposal and things like that, did it come up as to, you know, where we would place those? I know there are a few around town, like there's one in the at the Washington State Ferries restroom, at the parking lot, stuff like that. But it seems to me that, you know, when we're finding them on beaches and stuff, those people aren't really concerned about what happens to their needles potentially. So do having a receptacle like at Jackson's Beach wouldn't really solve the problem. Would we want, like, say, the maintenance crew at Jackson's to have that equipment so they could dispose of things safely?
This is...
Like, how do... like
I know, this yeah. is... We have to survey and see what they're doing now. I've been running around talking to people, seeing what they do, and everyone's doing it differently, and there's no common thread. We're probably overdoing the pill thing, according to the FDA regulations I read today. You should be able to do the pill thing individually if you do it correctly, without having to ship all this stuff off the island and take and get it. The police actually burn it otherwise. But that's getting expensive. So, yes, all those things need to be considered, but it's been 2 weeks and I had to stick this in between feeding the dog, washing the clothes, and all that other stuff that we do. But we're moving forward. So just an update of where we're at. But it should be solvable.
And I just about Jackson's Beach, the court today is making it so the county can be in control of the road, and they'll put an ordinance not allowing overnight parking anymore. So that might help with the needle thing, because a lot of activity takes place at night.
I don't know.
It might be a little step in the right
direction. It's a step. But there'll still be needles up there.
Oh, yeah, but maybe it'll help a little.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the only park where we're finding things like that.
No,
I've seen
no.
them at Sunken Park, and it just seems like we need more resources for disposal.
Yeah. And more education of if you find a needle, what to do, how not to pick it up, how to pick it up, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that's just a start.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Rapp.
Okay, next order of business is entitled Discussion Regarding Preliminary EMS Fire District 3 Merger Talks. I think that you placed that on the agenda, did you not? How was that?
I did.
Good. Could you talk about it?
Well, you know, we've had a joint meeting with fire and the public hospital district boards, but we haven't really, as a board, discussed the merger and what it looks like, you know, at length, really. And I think there are, you know, a lot of obstacles, and, you know, we've heard from a lot of people, like the chief, saying that consolidation isn't necessarily a way to save money. You know, he said that at our joint meeting. You know, I think about the challenges that we have with redistricting, you know, with the way the town subcontracts services. You know, we as a board haven't come up with a list of pros or cons. So, you know, my feeling is that this needs to be a more transparent process in order for the public to have confidence in our intentions. And those are my thoughts. I think that it should be a topic that we discuss at every meeting. And, you know, if you have a report and things to share, I know that there have been, you've had meetings with, you know, other commissioners, and so has Commissioner Smith. I just think the more information we can make public and share, it appears better for us as a board.
It's better for the public to know.
And it's better
and
for
get
the
their
public.
Comments early on.
And, you know, for me, the most important thing is what is the best way to serve our community? That's our responsibility. We have a fiduciary responsibility, and we have a responsibility to make sure that the services that we're providing, that EMS provides, are the best they can be. So does that mean that if the departments are merged, that's the best function? And we haven't really talked about that.
Well, we have, and I've certainly in the ad hoc committee that went on for many, many months with Bill Williams and more recently Mark Schwinge and then Rebecca, given a report, a written report, matter of fact, to the commissioners as a recapitulation of each and every meeting. So that's good news. One of the frustrations is that the hospital district does not stand alone. It's working in unison with Fire 3 in the town of Friday Harbor. And a lot of the information that we could disseminate is hypothetical. We know, and in my reports I have expressed multiple times, what the major issues are, how they are dealt with, the methodology and the time frame has yet to be sorted out. And on top of that, now we have a fourth unit, and that's a citizens advisory group that has yet to be even fleshed out in terms of membership. Methodology needs to be worked out, timeline, basic guidelines. And so it's premature to be talking about any sort of definitive discussion or way to handle things until we have all parties impacted in terms of what needs to be dealt with, starting with the Citizens Advisory Group, matter of fact, and the consultants that are going to feed them. So there's much more work to be done. It's just early in the game to be offering reports that really have substance to it, I think. Any other comments from the board?
Well, I would say the idea of putting the Citizens Advisory Group together was to find out if it was feasible. Mm-hmm. And that is because that group's going to be working with all three of the entities. So for us to sit as a board and come up with if it's feasible or not doesn't make sense because we don't know if it's feasible. That's what the Citizens Advisory Group is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That's it. They're not supposed to say, yes, we're going to have a merger. They're just going to say, does this make sense? Here's why it makes sense. Here's why it doesn't make sense. And then they go back to all three entities. And then we start the discussions.
Mm-hmm. I guess, I'm not really talking about feasibility, but I am talking about, more what's our motivation for this? Like, what's the reasoning? I think that for myself, I haven't been involved in any of these committee meetings and things like that. So I'm just anxious to have more information and to have information flowing more freely.
Along those lines, in our packets, we have this note from Nathan.
Correct.
And when I first read it, I was concerned and I circled it. I guess you'd call it the third paragraph. We are working with the fire department to gather a charge document that gives some basic instructions to the Citizens Advisory Group. Who's the we? I'm not in that we at this moment. I didn't know that we were working with fire to do the charge because I have some charge issues that I want to put up.
Yeah, and certainly you'll have an opportunity to express yourself both individually as well as a board. There's a very preliminary document that was generated by Fire Chief Brad Creasy, and Nathan has interfaced with that document, but it's just a prototype, it's hypothetical. Okay. And once it is matured to the satisfaction of Fire 3 and to Nathan and Pam, the board will have a chance to scrutinize it and rule on it. So again, the difficulties are that we have three entities, soon to have four entities, And our opinions aren't necessarily commensurate with Fire 3 or the town of Friday Harbor. And so behind the scenes, Nathan particularly has tried to unify opinions and expressions in a way of methodologies and that. So I think he's done a terrific job. It doesn't necessarily involve the board at every step of the way. But soon to be shared will be this document that started off under Chief Creasy. Do you want to add anything to that, Nathan?
I don't think I really need to add anything. I mean, the board sets policy. You guys determine how you want to handle things. And then, there are always, some administrative things. How do you access the money, the the board has apportioned to you, you know, turn in your W-2 form, that kind of thing. This is not stuff that the board needs to approve. You've approved the money that you're giving them. And then, you know, as employees, we're going to help them figure out how they can use that money. But all issues of policy rest with the board, no question.
Now, that's my point on the word charge. That is policy.
So the
when you charge someone to study something, you're setting the limits on what policies they're going to look at. That in and of itself becomes, the charge becomes a mega policy over the discussion of other policies. And I think we should have that discussion. You know, one of my early feelings after we worked on this and I voted for it, driving home, I thought, well, why didn't we have a representative, a direct representative of the county? And they are the ones that are in charge of disaster response. We're a soft target for both. And just a soft target across the board, including geology. And, so I think we need to have that discussion before we charge a committee. Because once you form the charge, all of a sudden, that's how the tree grows. So you have to make your charge broad enough that your tree can grow correctly.
And I think that's certainly the core of the intention.
Yeah. So,
but again, it takes three parties, ideally, to be working with the same philosophy and in unison. If we have fire saying one thing and the PhD saying something else and the town comes in with a third opinion, then you have a heck of a mess. You know, the train's not going to get out of the station. Yes, sir. Mr. Jarman.
I'd like to add to that, Warren, on the press documentation they put together is almost verbatim, word for word, of our April 4th meeting of the motion that Rebecca brought forward with the charge for this committee. He changed a couple words in there because there was a couple things that were turned around. But when we set up the committee, the hospital district voted on it, the fire district voted on it. It was off of the original charge that Rebecca put forward on to form these meetings to go forward with. So as far as we were concerned, there was already a set goal set out for this committee to take to move forward with.
Okay. I'll look at that report.
It's April 4th special meeting.
Got it.
Yeah, to echo that, you know, the instructions are drawn directly from the motions passed by the board.
Thank you, Commissioner Jarman. It's always great to have you here.
I'm sorry I missed the 3 o'clock special meeting because I got kind of hung up with, had jury duty kind of overlap. It took them until almost 4 o'clock to cut me loose, so I missed the special meeting. I apologize for that.
And I should apologize to Annalisa. I didn't, she picked up her packet early, and I added that email this morning. I don't think it's in yours.
I don't have it. So.
Commissioner Lindstrom, maybe I can help answer the question of the twos. Is I think as elected officials and as the chief of EMS, I think it's our due diligence to look at what we need to be doing to provide services to the residents and the visitors to this island. And I think that we have that charge that we have to do to make sure that we are providing the very best services that we can. And I think that we need to step back every now and again and look, make sure if maybe putting a merger together is to the best interest of the people. And I think if you look around the country, you'll see that most EMS services are with fire. And that's done because that model works very, very well. And this EMS and fire broke up 41 years ago for a reason, and maybe it's time for us to get to see if our organizations can work better and to see if that is makes a better mousetrap for the people who serve.
Sure. And do you think that the merger would solve some of the volunteerism issues?
It could. Mm-hmm. I think that I think what we're looking at is not just volunteerism, but I think we're looking at response times. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at more calls going on at one time. I think we're looking at specialty of of the skills that are needed to work together. If you look at the numbers that we had from last year, EMS responded to just about 1,200 calls. Fire responded to 300 some calls. And 72 of those calls that we had, fire and EMS worked together on these calls. Mm-hmm. And so we're working together closely anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we can put our skill sets together and put our people together, that might be a better service for the people that we serve. And what I said was that I can't guarantee that this is going to save this department and fire money. I don't know that. And if we are looking at doing this merger just to save money, we shouldn't be looking at this at all, period. We ought to be looking at this with the keen eye that we can provide a better service.
And better service meaning better response times. Would that mean, how do we really do that unless we're staffing outer stations?
And that's it. We just have the one station where fire has six stations.
Right, but they're not staffed.
Not yet.
But the assumption, or at least the hope, is then that there's the funding to then staff them to increase response time.
That would be up to the fire department. If that merger went together, that would be up to them at that time. Mm-hmm. And to see where the call volume is and to do that. So like right now, we got fire engines at each station. Mm-hmm. And if there is a CPR call going on in say their station 34 area, well, they can certainly get a fire engine out there immediately to that area. Mm-hmm. That's how most fire departments do it. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at response times. We're looking at skills. We're looking at patient care. Mm-hmm. We're also looking, and this works the other way too. This works as the other way that when there is a fire call, when there is a hazmat call, that EMS is there too. Mm-hmm. And that we are working together, training together, so I know what fire's doing, they know what EMS is going to do, and we have that working together, and that's where fire and EMS departments that work that have that together, they got that down.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chief Martin. And the second half of this discussion point is a committee report by me, and basically, we had the joint meeting, we discussed that since our last PhD meeting. Dan Paulson has been chosen as the Fire District 3 nominee, and then just last Thursday, Chuck Daldorf was chosen by the town of Friday Harbor, so we have three individuals. I know George Johnson, I've known him for decades, right, but he's past chair of the PhD, and he was instrumental in orchestrating the potential merger of the town of Friday Harbor Fire Department and Fire District 3 many, many years ago. He did a terrific job, reportedly. So I have talked to him in terms of identifying his two fellow committee members, to date at least, and encouraged him to contact those individuals and know that the first order of business is taking two additional individuals. The basis of those individual two candidates, there is a question still floating around. It was answered actually by Fire 3. They feel that those candidates should be drawn from the original application, the pool of applicants. The board needs to talk about that tonight. I'm sort of jumping into the next discussion point, but that's my report. And so, any questions about what I said or comments? Okay. So the next discussion point is Citizens Advisory Group discussion, and I'd like to start off with that consideration. does this board, the majority of this board feel that that the two additional participants be drawn from the original applicant pool, which I think started with 12 members, or should the three nominated members have a license to go outside of that original pool? My personal feeling is that ideally, and my recommendation, of course, I can't speak for the board, is to encourage the three individuals so nominated to pick from that pool. But if they feel that they just can't fill the other two positions with the candidates remaining, that they have license to go outside of that pool. So, open discussion. Who would like to lead?
All right, I'll lead.
I didn't say anything.
All right, there you go. No, I can lead. I think that the motion that was passed was passed. It didn't say they had to draw from that lot. Looking at who's been elected to the board, I think they will draw from that lot, but I don't think that we should confine them and let them make their decision. The decision was each of us appoint someone, and they'll get two more that they think they can work with or they need to work with. Let them do it. That being said, the practicality of it, of who's already been selected, there's a big chance they're going to draw from those other people. But I don't think you can go back and change the resolution after you passed it and have already acted on it as three different boards without going all the way back and starting all over again, according to Robert's rules. So I would just leave it alone with the understanding or the anticipation that the next two will probably come from there anyway.
Well, in a way, that's the origin of my personal feelings. Warren, is that to encourage them to do so, but not necessarily mandate it, you know.
These are smart people. They'll figure it out. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
They don't need me to tell them.
Did Fire pass a motion?
Yes, they did.
To say that they need to be pulled from this?
Correct. Is that correct?
Yeah, we clarified the original intent of the discussion. The discussion was, the original intent was, is that we were going, the original intent was that the two commissioners in the town felt that these people had already volunteered to be on the committee, that they would be also considered for the selection to fill the committee out. See, now it's hard to get volunteers anyway. Our thought process was, and we went back and clarified it, listened to the words, and was typed, and it really doesn't specify it, but we went back to clarify what our original thoughts were, so we passed We made a motion that we all agreed upon that that's the way it was, except for Frank that had abstained from the vote on that clarification.
Dr. Mark.
Yeah, let's not gridlock over this. Let's just move it forward. Trusted individuals were selected, and I think now we need to trust those three to make good choices, whether it's from this list, which I think should be preferential, or from somebody not on the list. They should have that latitude, and we should trust them to make the decision.
Rebecca.
Well, I agree that we should trust them. I think that we should encourage them to choose from the pool, because Fire did, and if all of a sudden they don't, Fire already made a motion. Now, what, we're another month out? Because Fire has to go back and make a change, and I sure don't want gridlock on that. So if we could encourage them to do that, I think Dr. Appleton's comment is, you know, they're smart people, they probably will anyway. These are the people that have already signed up, so they know they're willing to work. That's my view.
So you want to proffer a motion? Is that basically is a reflection of what I said and Mark, so.
Before we do that, would so doing result in gridlock? Would we be experiencing another month of delay?
Well, the motion that I would anticipate would include the proviso of encouraging pulling from this group, but not mandating it. So giving them license on their own volition to pick two additional candidates outside of the original group. So it's sort of splitting the baby from the decree from Fire and reportedly the town of Friday Harbor. But like Warren said, the likelihood of them doing that is probably very, very slim. Yes, Richard.
Thank you. The observation I would make is that if you authorize them to go off the list, there goes transparency. You advertised, people applied, said they were willing to do it, those names were public, and now if you say those three can just go find anybody they want, there's no transparency.
I'd just like to say one thing. However, the whole idea when we sat in here 2 months ago or 3 months ago and people in the audience said we need citizens, a citizens advisory group, and we need them to be totally separate from the board. We want to have the board is hands off. It's the citizens advisory group. So we're giving them license to come up with asking whoever they want to come in and talk to figure out if this is feasible, what it would look like, what it would do. Maybe it's going to be no, maybe it's going to be yes. But the board is taking a hands-off position. That's why we appointed these people. That's why we only had one person each. So now to say, okay, well, we're hands-off except, you
with
have
all due
to do
respect,
this.
That's a specious argument.
Well, okay. Respect, but that's my comment is we did say hands off, so I don't personally, I think if we highly encourage them to do that, they're going to do it anyway, but is that going to be against the fire motion?
Again, it's splitting the baby. The probability they're picking from this group that have already made application, which was not an easy process, stood before all these groups for potential selection. I think that the three individuals are going to honor that. And if you look, as we've said many times, that the remaining nine individuals, there's real talent in there. Certainly enough to fulfill two additional positions. So I would feel more comfortable not going directly against what Fire 3 has passed by motion at their last meeting, but strongly recommend that they pick from the original pool, but not preclude picking from outside the pool.
I just don't understand why we would do that when Fire has already said that they want it from the pool. So we're muddying the waters and we're making it more complicated and risking transparency in the process. You know, this went back to my question previously about whether or not these citizens advisory groups meetings would be open to the public. And, you know, if this process is going to gain any credibility or confidence with our public, all of this needs to be transparent.
The fact is, though, if they select someone from outside, you're going to know who it is. You can always ask for the resume. In the end, you have as much transparency as if we voted the other way. So your argument just doesn't flow to the point that I think we need to get to. We said we're going to select three. They get to choose who they want.
If it's beyond that,
and then that's what they do. But they need to tell us who they choose.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's the transparency issue. So Fire has to deal with Fire. We have to deal with the public hospital district. I was there when they made the motion. I thought it could get sticky, but it was a 2-0 vote. So that's the way it happened. So my motion is we just my inclination. I shouldn't say motion. My inclination is we just leave it alone. And
so revert back to the original resolution without modification. Is that what you said?
Exactly.
It wasn't a resolution.
Everyone was happy with it then until all of a sudden three got elected and it was like, can we speed this up? And I'm not all in favor of speeding this up. I mean, you speed things up, you miss your due diligence, you miss some points, then all of a sudden you're in murky waters. They can select them. They're intelligent people. We selected them. And I thought we were making an intelligent decision at the time. So I will make a motion that we leave our motion as it is. Fire will know, and we can always figure that out. But I also, as a pragmatist, those two people are going to come off that list, but I don't think I should limit these people that I've said, you tell us as citizens what you think.
Can I ask about the motion? So the motion that we made was unclear because it was the same motion that Fire made, and they clarified theirs on a belief that that's what they wanted. Our motion, if we leave it, is just not clarified.
Well, our motion is that we select three people and they choose from there. They don't choose off a list. That was our original motion.
Commissioner Jarman.
In our original motion that we had at the April 4th meeting, it was unclear of how those other two people were to be selected. You can read that motion three different times and come up with two different answers. The reason that we went back to clarify it was of a statement made at one of these meetings when Chairman Edwards said that they can go pick for whoever they want out of that group. So that's where the confusion started.
Yeah.
If we would have stuck with the original motion, we would have probably all assumed that they would have picked out of the group. And then when Michael made the assumption that it'd go the other two, then that's when the confusion got going. That's why we went back to clarify it. I went back and listened to that tape until, well, I guess not a tape, the recording. And, you know, it wasn't clear, but that's why I asked what the intent was when we did it.
I think we should leave the motion the same that it is without making another motion or clarifying it any further.
So you put a motion on the table, correct? Formally?
I put a motion on the table formally.
Okay, so
we evaluated our previous motion and we think it's totally adequate.
Okay. We have a second.
So I'm just curious, how does that motion differ from things as they are now?
It doesn't. We're just reaffirming the previous
motion. Well, it clarifies the implied that was disseminated by Chairman Edwards, I stand guilty. And, you know, certainly Fire 3 clarified their position, and this is basically a motion to clarify ours.
Okay, so it's undermining the previous decision.
Yes.
So I'll second the motion, and in discussion I'd like to tap on Pam and Nathan's perspectives as well.
Okay.
Mics aren't working.
Okay, I'll talk to him. When I was at the meeting, the April 4th meeting, it was my understanding that each town fire and the district would pick one person, and then they would get together as three, and then they would pick the two people. I didn't get that they had to pick from the list. I would think, yeah, they might look at those people, and they probably will pick from the list, but it wasn't said word for word that they had to pick from the list. So if those three people get together, and I agree they're smart people, if they pick from, look at those people, and they pick two from there, but say they look at all of them and they have a disagreement, I think they could come back to each of the boards and say, we're having trouble picking our two from the, you know, so you could get feedback that way. I don't think that them picking someone off of the list is going to hurt the transparency of the group, because after they get their five people, then we'll start their group meetings and they will have their meetings and they will have the reports. And so it will all be transparent from the time of their, you know, their group, but
their formation.
That was my interpretation of the motion. I agree we could just leave it alone and just say that we stand by the original motion that was made and just leave it at that, and you can interpret it. Let them interpret it.
So.
As employees, our obligation is to carry out the will of the board. And whatever you guys choose is fine with me. But I do prefer clarity over, I don't know, what would I call it, lack of clarity. You know, I would like to know exactly what the board wants us to do. And so I would prefer not to pass. I would prefer not to have a statement that says, well, the original motion is enough. Because the question is, what does that original motion mean? So I would like to get clarification from the board on exactly what you want to have happen, whatever that may be.
Any further discussion from the board? Warren, since it's your motion, any new ideas from you, sir?
Not a new idea, just a comment. You know, that seven out of those nine remaining set a pretty high standard to go outside of it, outside of those seven. And if they went outside of it, I would expect that those three people that went outside of it would have a good reason to do it, and I would like to hear that reason. And I would consider that thinking outside the box, which I think this whole discussion needs some of. And not this discussion at this table, but this whole discussion of merger.
Before I call for a vote, any other comments? Rebecca?
I still like standing by our original motion or resolution, but I guess it was a motion.
It was a resolution, wasn't it, Nathan?
It was a motion.
It was a motion.
Yeah. Just a motion. Okay, great. Lisa? Dr. Mark? Well, you're the last person, so I'm obligated to go to the vote. So the chair calls for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
Nay.
Nay, okay, I was going to say, this late with the aye or okay. So four commissioners, four, one against.
So the motion you just passed, if I may.
It was Dr. Appleton's motion.
Dr. Appleton's motion. It was seconded by Dr. Sweeney. Yeah. It passed 4-1. And the text of the motion would be, we stand by our original motion.
We reaffirm our original
motion.
We left it purposely open. We didn't put the qualifier in. It could have been put in. We didn't put it in. But we reaffirm the original motion. Was my motion.
And are you affirming that the interpretation is that they may pick whomever they wish, or are you explicitly not clarifying that?
They get to choose. I'm not clarifying it. Those three get to choose. That was our original motion. They would choose the person. There was no qualifier that they had to choose off this list.
So you're clarifying that they can choose whomever they wish?
Correct.
Okay, so.
Correct.
All right.
I expect the net effect of that would be that the three selected will honor the stricture fired, and they will therefore select their list.
They may.
Most members of this board are on record and encourage a utilization of the original applicant pool. So, correct. I mean, that's, if they're looking at the record, they'll hear that. So. Okay.
Hey, Chair. May I add to the discussion about the Citizens Committee? Another thing that we had talked about in the fire district was one other thing we left off of when we formed the committee, going through our notes and everything, is how we're going to circle the committee up, the offer them assistance and that sort of thing, either through a fire chief to help the committee get together if they need to find rooms or that sort of stuff, to offer assistance, basically clerical assistance to the group. We had thought about nominating Brad to put that together, but Brad will be leaving us, and we thought it would be best if we move forward, if the hospital district was willing to, is have Nathan work with the group to, you know, if they need help getting together, if they need help finding a place to meet and that sort of thing, to just offer the clerical help to the group and, you know, if you take minutes or whatever, but to be able to offer someone to put the group together. You know, even just to send out the notices that the group has been picked now, to notify the applicants and that sort of, somebody just to organize the group. And I think that's one thing that we forgot to do is organization and give them the help that they may need.
Well, that has been the topic of discussion previously, Bob.
Okay.
And Nathan and Brad were sort of drafted into that joint position, but certainly Nathan, who has consented to do this, could handle it on his own, particularly since we're losing Brad in October. So, you okay with that, Nathan?
Of course.
Any comments? Also, Duncan also said that he would help out, so you might have a backup. You could be the point person and maybe have him as a backup to help.
I would imagine that I would need to consult with both of them pretty much continuously.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the reasons that we wanted to move Nathan to be, I guess, the point person for him is to be blunt, Nathan has no baggage, whereas...
Okay.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Okay, good point.
Well said. So, thank you.
So, Nathan, you can't come back and use that quote for a pay raise, saying that you can't even afford baggage.
Yeah, we got the recording right there.
His salary schedule is frozen, by the way, as part of your contract, 5 years.
You got
okay, any other...
Thank you, Bob.
Subtopics underlying Citizens Advisory Group discussion. Again, we're looking forward to getting the paper from Brad Creasy. That outlines a lot of the recommendations, and it was a well-done paper. When are we going to get that, Nathan? Do you know?
I was going to talk to Brad about it tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Brad's out of town. He's at the Chiefs meeting. That's why if he were here, we wouldn't have missed that 3 o'clock meeting. But he's out of town. He won't be back in office until Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
But he is checking his emails.
All right.
Emailing tomorrow.
I'll email him about it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'd also encourage standardization of terms with the Citizens Advisory Group, the CAG. Not a committee. Citizen Advisory Group.
Did I call it committee?
No, just so that we're consistent in our nomenclature. Perhaps that could be shared with fire as well. And
I know I slip on that occasionally. So I have to correct myself.